today's a day that we take some time to talk about creation and creation care. And I got to tell you, the more I started digging into this, the more passages I started reading and the more things I started kind of not necessarily learning myself, but just looking to see how God's creation was designed and how the Bible says it is His and we are to take care of it. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. And, you know, for as long as I can remember, there's always been groups of people who have made it a point to want to take care of something on the earth, right? Whether it be save the trees or the rainforest in Brazil, you know, the lungs of the world, certain animal species being extinct. What else is there? Recycling, pollution, all of this stuff. There are groups of people that find these things and they want to take the charge to save the planet in that area. And it usually goes under the name or the banner of like the Green Movement. We started this out years ago, and then we put on the calendar a day dedicated to the Earth. Earth Day. I think that's somewhere in April, right? Where we do something to take care of the Earth. And also, you don't have to search very far online to find videos and documentaries about the ice caps melting in the polar regions and again, the Amazon rainforest and the deforestation and the massive amounts of garbage in the ocean or the landfills, garbage, garbage, garbage. What do we human beings do with all this stuff? And we're wrecking the planet. Well, the biggest cry of our day, I think, is what? Climate change, global warming, and if we don't do something to slow it down, we're all just going to be extinct like the dinosaurs. Global warming is threatening human life as we know it. Well, the thing to really take into consideration with all of this is that most of it is driven by secular environmentalists. But the other thing about this is they seem to be more zealous in taking care of the planet than their counterparts, followers of Jesus. Although I think their motives to protect the earth are sincere, I firmly believe that. I mean, they care enough to you know, make a drive and get people to buy into what they're talking about. Their ideas will always lead to misguided and maybe even damaging environmental policies because they are moved more in the area of evolution and Darwinism. Because secular environmentalists and even scientists, they reject the story of creation as told in the Bible. So, in this church, and at least with me, I believe in the literal 7 days of creation. I believe that the earth was created almost 7,000 years ago. You know, I'm not too sure where we're at now, somewhere maybe in the 6,000th year or something. But I believe that 6 days God created everything that we see, touch, and feel. On the sixth day, He created human beings. And then on the seventh day, as we talked about last week, He rested. He took a break. So we're going to start, I have a lot of passages to read, but we're going to start right in the book of Genesis chapter 1. And by the way, just so you know, I have double checked these slides. So I know last week was Psalm 24, whatever verse it was, and it said that God will give you peace, but it said peach instead. So my good friend Hilda Hutcherson and I were having a little laugh about that throughout the week, but, you know, I like to entertain. All right, so this is the beginning of creation right here. Well, this is actually like the sixth day, kind of wrapping up the story here. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, so God created human beings in His own image. In the image of God, He created them, male and female. He created them. Then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it, reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground. Then God said, look, I have given you every seed-bearing plant throughout the earth, and all the fruit trees for your food. And I have given every green plant as food for all the wild animals, the birds in the sky, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. Everything that has life. And that is what happened. Then God looked over all he had made, and he saw that it was very good. It says, an evening passed and morning came, marking the sixth day. So, I take everything in the Bible literally. So I believe that this happened literally like it says. Now there are some prophecies and some end time stuff that is symbolic, but if you take it literally, you're going to be in a much better place than if you start thinking more in the symbolic area and all of that stuff. So this is literally, I believe, this is exactly how it happened. And since all people were created by God, I think it's only natural that we have this inner desire to take care of the planet, whether we believe in God or not. It's just like we all have this void in our heart. At some point in time in our lives, we reach out to something. There's something that we fill it with. If we don't fill it with the things of God, if we don't fill it with Jesus, then we look forward to this like future utopia that we will one day partake in. Well, that's a false hope. If we don't fill it with Jesus, we're filling it with other things, whether it be addictions or what have you, whether it be work or you know, evolution, other theories and things of that nature. So I think we all have this desire to take care of the planet because it's something that God has placed in our hearts. And because the area of caring for the planet is largely driven by secular environmentalists, I believe this is one of the reasons that many believers in Jesus don't really even bother getting involved in conservation efforts. Because, let's face it, nowadays, does anybody reach across the aisle? Does anybody dare go from their far left or their far right thinking and reach across the aisle? We don't, because it's been so ingrained in us to stay over here or over here. Why would I move a little bit to the center? Well, that's where the work gets done. And so as believers in Jesus, we have to work with people who don't believe in Jesus in order to get them to understand the whole creation process when it comes to caring for the earth. And as we read, God has given us everything to take care of. We are to take care of everything out there. We are to reign over it. The church should be leading the drive with conservation efforts, I believe. The church should be leading the drive for a lot of stuff. And conservation is one of those areas because it is totally scripture-based. God put us in charge of it. Look, in verse 28, it says, then God blessed him and said, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the air, and all the animals that scurry along the ground. Reign over it. I put you in charge in this. This is, a lot of theologians would call this the dominion rule. Some other versions, the King James Version says, you have dominion over the fish and the animals and all of that. So this verse means that God has entrusted us to take care of his creation. He's put his trust in us to take care of everything that he created. Everything that when he was done, he sat back and said, everything is good. We are to oversee it. So what it doesn't mean is that it's ours for the taking. We were never supposed to take over for God, which oftentimes in our human thinking is what we think we're supposed to do. Because we're humans. We make things complicated. But I just have some verses here. For instance, Proverbs chapter 12, verse 10. The godly care for their animals, but the wicked are always cruel. This reminds me of when you see those videos of the way livestock are being treated. Cattle and chickens and turkeys and all of that. And you're like, I will never eat beef from that farm again. Because they totally neglect the care of the animal, right? Well, why is that? Because corporate greed takes over and it's all done for a profit. I like to buy our meats from people who take care of it naturally, organically, small little butcher shops, or the Amish. They have the best chicken. You know, chickens aren't supposed to be this big. They're actually this big. When we go to our mission trip in Brazil, they have chickens, and they're not that big. So, you know, a chicken breast shouldn't weigh 3 pounds. Yeah. But that right there, that is the word of God, the godly care for their animals. We are to oversee everything God gives us, and it's for our food and everything else, so we would care for it. Psalm 24, verse 1, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all its people belong to Him. This isn't ours for the taking. We belong to Jesus. And the sooner we get that figured out in our hearts, the better off our lives usually are, right? And then that passage in Corinthians, the Apostle Paul quoted Psalm 24, verse 1, in reference to a specific situation he was dealing with the church in Corinth. And he's saying, listen, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Don't worry about this, and that is what he's saying. Everything that you partake in is God's. So, see, it is and it will always be God's creation. And when we care for it in a biblical manner, we will have a more concise definition of God's plan for creation. We will have a better understanding of what He meant in the story of creation in the book of Genesis. In other words, mankind will be the caretakers of the earth as God had originally intended. The problem that we face in the world today is that the church is not involved in creation care. We're not involved in taking care of the planet. We're not involved in taking care of the way animals are treated. We're not involved in taking care of the way we farm our crops, which, by the way, I believe is the result of many food allergies that people deal with. Because again, if we can do this to the crops, we'll get a better yield, which means we'll make more money, but it doesn't matter how it affects people. And I'm just going to veer off track here for a minute. In the Bible, you know, everything is found in the Bible, especially Leviticus. Leviticus is a really boring read for most of us, but you know what? God lays out everything. Health, medical, science, how we should treat our field. Did you know that the way we are supposed to farm our crops, if you're a farmer, God said, leave the edges and the corners alone so that the people who don't have anything can come and pick from your crops. You see, God already had a plan to take care of those who didn't have anything. But corporate greed says, nope, it's all mine, so we can make money. That's a discussion for another day. For today's creation care. But instead, what happens is human sinfulness has taken over and greed leads the way. That's why we have mounds of garbage and you know, it just seems like we don't care about the earth like we should. Or we have good intentions, but we're not leading with the heart of God. We're leading with man's ideas. I want to read a psalm to you from Psalm 104. This is kind of a lengthy passage, but the more I was digging into this, the more I was like, you know, Psalm 104 speaks entirely of God's creation. And I just want to share this with you so you can see exactly how the psalmist thought of the way God cared for His creation. So we'll start in verse 10. This is the psalmist. He's talking to God. You make springs pour water into the ravines, so streams gush down from the mountains. They provide water for all the animals, and the wild donkeys quench their thirst. The birds nest beside the streams and sing among the branches of the trees. You send rain on the mountains from your heavenly home, and you fill the earth with the fruit of your labor. You cause grass to grow for the livestock. See, they're supposed to eat grass. And plants for people to use. You allow them to produce food for the earth, wine to make them glad, olive oil to soothe their skin, and bread to give them strength. And just as an addendum, there's a lot of verses that speak about the dangers of drunkenness too. So wine is not bad, but too much is not a good thing. The trees of the Lord are well cared for, the cedars of Lebanon that he planted. There the birds make their nests, and the storks make their home in the cypresses. High in the mountains live wild goats, and the rocks form a refuge for badgers. Down to verse 24. O Lord, what a variety of things you have made. In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. This is one of those things where, like, if you're an outdoorsman or you love nature, and like, I would just meditate on this psalm. I would think of this. This would probably be like a life verse for me. Just, this is God. This is who he is. This is his creation that he has given for us. And according to Genesis chapter 1 that we read, we have been given rule and reign over all creation, which means all creation, plants and animals, should thrive and flourish and fill the whole earth. Our rule and reign should not be oppressive, and it should not exploit the animals and the plants. It should be so that there's a thriving atmosphere for everything. And we are to hunt for our food. We are to hunt animals. We are to raise livestock for food. We are to make things like clothes and furniture and our homes and all of that stuff from the plants and the trees. Medicines come from plants. Everything that we need, God has provided for us on this earth. We really don't need chemicals and synthetic things. Everything can be found on the earth. We breathe oxygen from the plants. Everything we eat and wear comes from plants and animals given to us by our Creator. And we are to care and manage all of this from a godly heart, a biblical perspective. Not only this, but here's the other thing. The beauty of God's creation, it can't be measured. Think of the mountains that you see. I have some friends in the eastern part of Canada, and I see these pictures, and these mountains are just massive. You know, and we like to go hiking, and we go down to Tennessee to the Smoky Mountain areas and the mountain towns, and you know, you get to these overlooks, and you're just like, you're in awe of the creation and the Creator. You don't never worship the creation, but it's the Creator, and you can just spend some time there with God. And if you do that in awe and wonder of all that he has made, he will speak to you. You know, think of all the benefits we get from his creation, hiking and boating and camping and mountain climbing and all of that stuff, where we can relax, revive our spirits, right? If you go on a hike or you spend time out in nature, you're getting revived from your Creator. If you spend time with him, meditate on his goodness, look and hear and listen to everything that's around you. And when you understand that God created that for our benefit, for our wonder, for us to live and to thrive on, he'll speak to you when you're out there, because that's who he is. And so because of that, we in turn should be taking care of his creation. And when addressing environmental issues, environmentalists and scientists will often fail to take God's word into consideration. And there are some Christian scientists out there. There's Answers in Genesis, and there's a Creation Museum down in Cincinnati, down in Kentucky there where you can go, and they have the Noah's Ark, replica of Noah's Ark down there. You can go down there and you'll see all kinds of fascinating things where scientists actually work from God's word. It's fascinating. But listen to this message that God gave to the Israelites because of their careless attitude. He used the prophet Isaiah to speak this message. And I think you're going to be fascinated by the correlation of then and now. Hosea chapter 4, verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord, O people of Israel. The Lord has brought charges against you, saying, there is no faithfulness, no kindness, no knowledge of God in your land. You make vows and break them. You kill and steal and commit adultery. There is violence everywhere, one murder after another. That is why your land is in mourning and everything is wasting away. Even the wild animals, the birds of the sky, and the fish of the sea are disappearing. I mean, doesn't that sound like God could be speaking to us right now? I mean, doesn't that sound like you hear the news and you see what's going on in our communities? Like stealing and killing and destroying and no caring of the land. And again, you can watch these videos where the fish are disappearing and the animals are going extinct and the land is dying. It's because we don't care. We're not caring for God's creation. The irresponsible attitude in how we live, how we treat others, and the creation around us has been going on for thousands of years. This isn't anything new. Now, God's charge to the Israelites at this time, the priests were worshiping false gods, and they were leading the people astray. And because of that, there was killing and stealing and destroying and lying and vows being broken. No care for other human beings or the creation around them because they took their eyes off of their Creator and they began worshiping false gods. It's not really that different today. Could it be that just like the Israelites God spoke to thousands of years ago, environmentalists acknowledge our responsibility to take care of the planet, but they do not acknowledge the Creator who gave it to us? Because if we acknowledge the Creator when we're trying to tackle an issue like animal extinction, okay? And we acknowledge our Creator, He's going to work with us in that and give us ideas on how we can help this specific species thrive again. Because that's how He works with believers, right? When I have an issue, I talk to God about it, and I expect Him to talk back to me in some form or another about what I'm having an issue with. When the Creator is not acknowledged, it usually goes to the theory of evolution, which I might add is a theory. But then that is the main focal point, and the care of creation the way God intended is skewed or perverted. It's wrong. It's not the way God had intended. So what can we do about it? I know many of you are asking, what is my role in this? What can I do? What can be done? Well, far too often, we try to solve these kinds of issues, like all the other issues of the day, how to feed the poor, how to take care of poverty, how to deal with the housing crisis, how to deal with everything else, by going to our politicians. And all that does is create more government policies and legislation and laws, and it usually brings about unreasonable restrictions and the need for money, because somebody says, hey, I see what you're trying to do. Yeah, we need some money to do this. Well, I will give you the money if you will let me take over this project. And then everybody gets a little bit of money. And then the actual issue at hand really never gets taken care of. It's talked about and given a name, but in my mind, it really doesn't get taken care of, does it? Because politicians are involved. And I don't mean to talk bad about all politicians, but listen, when the government starts getting involved in this stuff, the church isn't leading the way. So things, again, become skewed because you got lobbyists who have the money and the corporations and all of that stuff gets in there. Whether the issue is pollution, habitat destruction, extinction, climate change, the real solution can only be found in God's word, and then we need to respond accordingly. And when I say respond accordingly, I mean, we must address the root of the problem. And the root of the problem is sin. It's our sinful nature. See, when Adam and Eve, most everybody, even non-believers, know the story of Adam and Eve. They ate the forbidden fruit that they weren't supposed to eat of. And the world will tell you, well, they disobeyed God and they did bad. And they did, but actually what they did was they broke the trust that God was trying to build with them. They broke the trust. So they went ahead and ate from that tree, and they brought about a curse on the entire ground. Listen, here's how it starts. In Genesis chapter 3 is the story of this. And God is speaking to the man and the woman, and he says, you know, when he says, hey, what's going on, guys? What happened? Adam blames Eve and says, well, she did it. She gave it to me. It's her fault. Instead of just manning up, but, you know. But he said, since you listened to your wife and ate from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat, the ground is cursed because of you. All your life you will struggle to scratch a living from it. It will grow thorns and thistles for you, though you will still eat of its grains. So the result of that broken trust was curse on our ground, on our land. And the man had to work, if you read more of the story, he'll have to labor and work the fields and work the ground for his food. And now we do it for our money, for our living. And then pain and childbirth for the woman. But see, this is where the Apostle Paul gave a teaching to the church in Rome, to the Romans, in Romans chapter 8. And we'll start in verse 19. Paul was making reference to this and kind of bringing light to what is happening. So Romans chapter 8, verse 19. For all creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal who his children really are. Those who put their trust and faith in Jesus, that's who we are. Against its will, all creation was subjected to God's curse. But with eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. For we know that all creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. And we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory. For we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children, including the new bodies he has promised us. That's in eternity. We'll have glorified bodies. We were given this hope when we were saved. See, when we put our faith in Jesus, we have this hope of eternity with him. We have this hope that we will know at one day no longer be living in these bodies that decay and give way to sickness and disease and death. We will one day, we have that hope. And so that's what Paul was trying to teach here. All creation groans because of the curse caused by sin, and we are all subject, creation and everything, to death and disease and destruction. That is why animals hunt other animals for prey. That is why people hunt animals. That is why we get sick. That is why bad things happen to good people. Because we are living in an environment that still has the curse of the original sin. We all succumb to that. We have a sinful nature. So the entire planet is suffering. The animals and the fish and the birds and the plants, everything is under this weight of a sinful environment, the curse. But there's hope. In Isaiah preaches of a future hope. You know, in the prophet Isaiah in the Old Testament, the entire Bible can be wrapped up in his teachings. And Isaiah speaks of this eternity with Jesus. When heaven comes down and Jesus rules and reigns from Jerusalem on his throne. But listen to what it's going to be like in Isaiah 11, chapter 6. In that day, the wolf and the lamb will live together. The leopard will lie down with the baby goat, the calf and the yearling will be safe with the lion, and a little child will lead them all. See, this perfect harmony, the way it was intended. The cow will graze near the bear, the cub and the calf will lie down together, the lion will eat hay like a cow, the baby will play safely near the hole of a cobra, yes, a little child will put its hand in a nest of deadly snakes without harm. Nothing will hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for as the waters fill the sea, so the earth will be filled with people who know the Lord. That is a description of heaven here on earth. Heaven is going to come down. Jesus will take his place on the throne in Jerusalem and rule and reign from there, and it will be a perfected creation the way it was intended to be in the garden. Even the disciple John had a vision. He was given visions of this new heaven and everything. And he wrote in Revelation chapter 21, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and old earth have disappeared. And the one sitting on the throne said, 'Look, I am making everything new.'" That's Jesus. When he comes to rule and reign forever with us, those who put their trust in him. This is the hope that we have when we place our trust in Jesus. All things will one day be restored the way they were intended. All the different animals that have predators, and the wolf and the lamb and the bear and the cow and the child and the snakes, they will all live in harmony together. How it was intended. We can go up to a bear and pet it without being worried about. Well, I won't. That's a story for another day. But see, everything will be perfected when Jesus comes back. But in the meantime, it's up to us, the church, to make a difference in being in sync with God when it comes to taking care of the world around us. We've got to listen to his word. We've got to listen to his voice. Is there something that he wants us to do? Does he want us to get involved with, you know, picking up some trash? Does he want us to get involved? Do we have resources and things of that nature, maybe something that we're interested in to help care for the creation? See, we do this with the hope and the expectation that we will one day experience what Isaiah spoke of and what the book of Revelation speaks of. But if we don't have that mindset of taking care of creation now, will we even care in the future? So I'll bring it home to this. I'll bring it home with this. God is constantly on the move, restoring relationships between him and mankind, between us and Jesus. He will never, ever, 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 ever give up on a human being. No matter how much we think we've messed up, he will never give up on you, because he wants us, each one of us, to experience that perfected part of creation as it was intended. He understands that we live in a fallen world where sin leads and sinful natures and all of that bad stuff reigns right now. We, as believers in Jesus, are to be the light in that world, and we are to help work with him in restoring other lives back to him. When we ourselves are reconciled to God, what then happens? Broken relationships that might be a trail left behind us begin to get restored. People that we might have had issues with, or friendships that have fallen out. Once your heart changes with the love of Jesus, what is it that you end up doing? You end up extending grace and mercy and forgiveness to those around you, and then the Holy Spirit will bring to mind people that you need to reach out to from the past that you should mend the relationship to. Even though you're like, "Well, I didn't start it," and God will be, "I don't care." Because you are now one with me, And we, together, are going to offer forgiveness and mercy to that person in the hopes that I can reconcile them with my son. And then all of this in turn helps us restore the relationship between mankind and the creation. We start caring a little bit more, right? We start picking up a little pieces of trash in the parking lot as we walk into the store. Maybe it's as simple as just putting a cart back in the corral. Start with the small things. But you begin, am I wrong? I mean, you begin picking up on things. You see things in nature. You see the way people treat things. You might see garbage being thrown out a car window and you're like, ah, no, this is God's earth. And that's the Holy Spirit saying, yeah, I mourn when I see that. With this new heart of ours, we now understand reigning over creation as God originally intended. And do you see how it all starts? With us. It all starts with our heart and Jesus, and then it starts with, and then it goes to those around us, and then it goes a little bit further, and then it goes to creation care. But it all starts with us, filling that hole in our hearts with Jesus. And then He in turn starts to open our eyes to what's going on around us. The gospel of restoration is not just limited to mankind. It's much broader than that. It is meant to restore creation. You see, God, not only is He trying to restore mankind to Himself, He's in the process of restoring creation to Himself as well. Because if we don't have that mindset of caring for the creation, are we going to have it when we're in eternity with Him? By restoring the hearts of men and women who were not only created in the image of God, but were also given the responsibility to care for God's creation. And even though all creation, including mankind, including us, we're in this groaning process, right? Like stuff happens and we're just like, how many times do you go through a day and you're just like, oh, I get up again, my back hurts. And it takes me like 4 or 5 steps before I'm all the way up, right? That's because our bodies are aging. One day they won't age. Your knees will be nice and your backs will be good. I'm preaching to myself here. But listen, we're in this like this groaning process. That's what Paul was teaching in Romans chapter 8. But one day, all creation will be united with the Creator when we hear the words, "Look, I am making everything new." Amen? All right. Amen. Why don't we pray? And I think they might still be tallying up the chili stuff. So let's pray and we'll head into a time of worship. So, Lord Jesus, I just thank You, God. I thank You for Your creation. I thank You, God, for all the things You give us to live off of on this earth. And I just pray, Lord God, that something that was said today sparks just an idea or some hope or something in the hearts of those of us here in a way that we can help make the world a better place to live. And maybe there's somebody here where it just starts with me, like, I really need to be restored to my Creator. God, You speak to us in a number of ways, and I want to ask that as we move into a time of worship, You would speak to each one of us in a way that only You know how, that brings some hope, that brings some ideas, and that brings the creation care to mind that You so desire we be a part of. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.